Let's worship all across this building. Hallelujah. What a powerful service we had last night. If you missed last night, it was an extremely powerful, powerful presence of the Lord. In fact, so powerful that I just sat there. They called it, in the old days, basking in the presence of the Lord, just sitting there in this presence that was so strong that not only were people praying, but people like me, I was just sitting there thinking how clean it felt and bringing back memories of years ago when the Lord would sweep through the places and people didn't even want to go home. I remember one time crawling up to the pulpit and just sitting there, and the lights were going off, and the pastor said something about garden, it's 11 o'clock, and we're going to start easing out. And I simply asked him, that's so strong, I said, do I even have to leave? I would just like to spend the night here. I've never felt something that clean. So, when you miss services like that, you miss an experience that may never happen to you again. That may not ever come by again. You don't know. We pray that it does. But when you miss things like that, that you know are not man-made, they're not man-driven, it's total a presence of the Lord. People get healed that way. I've seen a little four-year-old, I think he was four or five, I can't remember, in that type of service, blind boy, healed with nobody around. He just looked around and his mother said something to him and he looked up at her and he went, Mama, I can see. Mama, I can see the presence of the Lord just healed somebody. Amen. So I'm so thankful for what the Lord is doing for this church and for the people of this church. And thank you for letting me be a small part of it. You may be seated. I want you to understand where we're going. I have a mission. I have a calling. I know we have visitors, so I'm going to explain some things before. You're looking at a guy that absolutely, no doubt, never wanted to be a preacher, period, ever. No doubt. No desire at all. You're looking at a man that felt this awesome presence of the Lord, but I've also felt the fear of being shot in drug deals. I have felt the fear of being in places where if my fear had been shown, I would have died. You're looking at a man this morning that one of his friends was captured and they hung, strapped his feet together, strapped his arms together, and they hung him over an open fire and then cut his guts out. You're looking at a man that has been in places that a lot of you may read about on the internet, but you don't want to ever be there. But then I got the privilege of being in the presence of the Lord. It was so strong, I didn't want to go back to the room. In fact, when I did go back to the room, I just stayed quiet. So, guests, you're not looking at somebody that was raised by a preacher to be a preacher. And so I take my mission very seriously, because I know the other side. I know the other side, how powerful alcohol is. I know that. I drink every day. I know how powerful crystal, crank, THC, LSD, heroin. I know the power of that, because not only did I sell it, I took it. I know the power of that, and there's a lot of power there. But then again, last night I got to be in the presence of the Lord, a clean man, a man that has two sides, a story to tell, and I'm creating a new story. And I was privileged to be able to be in that presence. So I have a mission. When the Lord called me to preach, I didn't want to do it. I wasn't one that went to Bible school and wanted to try and be, and I didn't do all that. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. Part of that was because of the guilt, I'm sure, that I felt from having to be in such a horrible person. There's things about me that you, the human race, will never know. They're never. So whatever you can dream up is probably worse. My mother went to the grave never knowing. My wife still doesn't know. I had to come between, it was between me and God. All the things that I'd participated in had to be between me and God. So when I did get called to preach, I didn't know that I was getting called. I'm explaining some things. I didn't understand. I just knew I wanted to help people around the altar and wanted to help them get out of drugs and get off alcohol, because I know what it is to drink Old Milwaukee every day. Not Friday. Every day. I know what it is to be in the nightclubs till the lights come on. I know what it is to be in the dark rooms in Dallas, Texas, where one misstep, everybody in the room would have died. I know what it is to have an ear and a cold steel gun put in that ear and say, if you make one move, I'm going to blow yours and Ronnie's brains out. I know what that is. And it started off so simple. It started off with a joint, with marijuana, with Mark Montgomery on the bed. And all he did was say, try this, you won't have a hangover. I remember those. And that started me on this journey that became so evil and so mean and so violent that jails and lawyers and politicians, let's come clean, because it wasn't just the people at dark. I mean, I was involved with politicians that were doing this, and I felt guilty. I didn't want to have, but I wanted to help people. And so in the midst of this being called to preach, finally it dawned on me what's going on. And I realized that when I do this, if I did it, that I was going to face a lot of opposition from people that probably thought I was extremely unqualified. And so that became true. But for 36 years, I'm still trying to help people that are messed up with drugs, alcohol, anger, bitterness, sin. I was driving up here and this thought went through my brain, so I'm just going to repeat it. I cannot help you until you admit what you are. So I can preach 2 hours up here. But until you admit that there's a heaven and a hell, I'm just wasting my breath. See, I was over here with all that stuff, and I knew. See, no matter what, your conscience knows that there's a hell. Whether you want to admit it or not, you know what you're doing is wrong. I'm just going to preach at you a little bit. You know if you're doing wrong. You don't even have to have the law. You don't have to have a law to tell you that drugs is wrong. You know it's wrong because you know what it does to you. You don't have to have a law that tells you 0.80 is or 0.08 is illegal. You know what the alcohol does to you. And you know that is wrong. You know that. Your brain, your conscience, see, your brain is getting liberated where it's not functioning correctly. But your soul and your spirit is up there going, what you're doing is wrong. That's the reason after you complete your mission for 24 hours, you feel a little conviction. I would wake up and go, man, I wished I hadn't have done that last night. I went too far. I didn't have to have my brother tell me that. I didn't have to have none of my friends tell me that. Something told me you went a little far. And you know it. See, I'm talking to you this morning. You didn't come in here, guest, just accidentally. I've been up since 3:07. 3:07. 3:07, the Lord just woke me up. Boom, here's what's going to happen. I looked at the clock, and I thought it was probably 8, maybe 7 or 8, and it was 3:07. You know what you're doing because your soul is alive, and it wants to go home. See, your soul is going to live forever. There's nobody going to die. Your flesh is going to die. It's going to rot away. It gets old. It gets wrinkled. It's terminal. It's got a termination date. We don't know how. I mean, I've seen them pass away as infants, and I've seen them pass away at 90, 95. So we don't ever know. We just know that even with me, the wrinkles, I'm 72 in a few days, and there's a day where this body will just terminate. But my soul will never die. My soul will never die. It wants to go back to the Creator because the Creator is what gave it breath. Adam became a living soul. In other words, the living part was this. That soul was waiting on a body. And he became a living soul. And so your soul's not going to die. Your soul is going to live forever somewhere. My purpose this morning is to help you maybe understand that there are two places and that's all. I don't care what any other religion says. I go by the Bible. I'm a member of the United Pentecostal Organization, but I don't care if they change from the Bible. I'm history. I'm gone right then. I mean, they don't have to ask me. I will tell them. I'm not a member for life. I will tell. I believe the Bible. And the Bible says, not Gordon Poe. If I'd have wrote the Bible, I'm going to tell all of you, it'd have been a lot different. It'd have been a whole lot different. We'd be rolling a joint right now. That'd be cocaine spread from over here to over there. Come partake. I'm not going to lie to these young people and tell you I didn't like getting high. Of course I liked it. That's the reason you do it. You know, people go, well, I didn't like it. You're lying. You did. I loved it. I loved it so much I did it every day. I loved it as much that I got what's called addicted, to the point where I had to have more and more and more. And so to get more, I was spending $3,000 a month in the 80s because of cocaine. So as to spend $3,000 and hold a job that's only, in the 80s, it's only giving you about $2,400 a month. Somewhere you got to turn some money, right? So it's that trap. I'm talking to some people this morning. It's that trap. You got paid on Friday, spend a bunch and figure out how to work the rest of the week and live and survive, but you got a party Friday through Saturday at least. And why? It's because that thing. If you don't believe there's a heaven or hell, nobody can help you. Nobody. You're just on your own. And hey, if you want to be that, I hope you're right. Let me tell you why. If there's no heaven or hell, I'm going to make it. I'm almost finished. If there's no heaven or hell, me dressing like this, short hair, no drugs, I'm going to make it. If there's no heaven or hell, I don't know where we're going, but I'm going because I made it. But if there is a heaven or a hell, I got to figure out now where do I want my soul to live. And so if it boils down to, do you believe that there's a place after death that you will live forever? Is that right? Is this right? If it's not, then we're ignorant. We're even showing up on Sunday or Wednesday. Let's just don't ever go back to church. If this is wrong, we don't need nothing. We are our own individual gods. Well, if you're your own individual God, how are you doing? What are you creating? I'm almost finished. See, I created, if I was my own individual God, young people, I created a life of misery. I created a life where I couldn't even get up out of bed without getting some crystal because I'd been drinking all night, and I had to have crystal at night so I could drink. Then I had to have some coke where I could get my brain functioning. And so if this is wrong and you're your own individual God, like Oprah Winfrey says, what kind of world are you creating? If this is right, then where are you going? Because you right now, guest, I'm preaching to the guest, preaching to all of us, but if you're going to be in my revivals, you're going to hear it. I've changed my brain. I am never going to back down and be, I don't want you to get offended. If you get offended, it's not my problem. I didn't write the Bible. If I'd have wrote the Bible, I'm telling you, I already told y'all, if I'd have wrote the Bible, we'd be smoking a joint right now. But I didn't write it. I can only repeat it. And if you don't believe it, I have no control over that. My job is to help you. My job is to convince you. If there is a hell, and this Bible says there is, let me give you some scriptures, guest. There was a man that was called the rich man. And he went, the Bible said, to hell. And he looked up from hell and saw the poor man called Lazarus. And in hell, in torment, he said, if you can just give me a drop of water. In other words, he was burning down. And he just wanted some water. He lifted where? Up his eyes. And he saw somebody named Lazarus that was not burning, that didn't need water, but must have had it. And he was saying, the Bible says, I am in torment. He's not. And when it was not approved, then he merely said, could you send some people to my family and tell them I'm in hell? It's my job to tell the guest there's a heaven and a hell. Heaven and a hell. And you got to believe that. Because if you can't believe that, and you can't believe what you're doing, you can't believe, there's nobody can help you. I went to a psychologist one time because I wanted to get off coke, and psychiatrist, I mean, and I wanted to get off coke, and somebody told me, go get therapy. And so I wanted to get off coke, and I went and I sat down and I talked to this chick for one hour. And she was asking all these questions. They're so dumb questions, just dumb questions. And I'm like, dude, chick, I just want to get off coke. Let's get to the coke part. I don't need to go through my childhood. I don't know how many diapers my mother had. I have no idea. I don't care. What I care about is I've got cocaine in my car, in my pocket, and I'm trying to get through an hour without snorting it, and you're wanting to know all this mess that's irrelevant. When did my grandfather move to Texas from Oklahoma? I don't want to marry. Who knows? I don't know. And then at the end of an hour, she looked at me and she said, your time is up. And I said, I'm cured? And here's what she said. No, you'll probably have to come back. I said, okay. So I went to the front desk, and the lady goes, this is in the 70s, young people, 70s. She said, that'll be $65 in the 70s, where the minimum wage was about $1.90. Where $1.90. If you were making $3 or $4 an hour, you had some money. And now this chick wants $65 and another visit. And you know what I told her? This is so stupid, I'm fixing to have to go sell some cocaine just to come back. You see what I was? I was in the pit, and I couldn't get out. And the people that were trying to think, quote, help me out, had no plan. I'm almost finished. I was sitting on an airplane after I got the Holy Ghost, and I was flying to Maryland, and there was a lady sitting over here in this middle seat was empty, and all of a sudden she says, do you mind? And she took some books and put on that little table that folds down. I said, no, go ahead, no problem. Well, I started looking over there, and man, she's working on whatever, and I'm sitting on the side, and I said, I've never seen somebody with so many books on a plane. I said, are you? She said, no, I work for the college. And I am the head psychologist for the college, and so I'm working on some plans. And I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm in the head of the administration for people to be rehabilitated." Well, my head kind of popped up. I said, "Really?" She goes, "She had books." And I said, oh, really? And she goes, yeah. And what was that guy that was on the East Coast that was so big of a preacher and he died? Can't remember his name. He had that big college out there. Anybody remember? Who? No, not Billy Graham. He was, who? Not Oral Roberts. That was in Oklahoma. Anyway, he's on the West Coast. He was a big conservative. I mean, the East Coast, excuse me. He was a big conservative. And he got the Patriots Act, the Patriots movement all together. And she worked for him. And so I said, so you put, who? Falwell, Jerry Falwell. I said, so you work for Jerry Falwell? She said, I do. And I said, so you're the head? She said, I am. And I said, awesome. I said, hey, I got a question. I said, you rehabilitate people? She said, they come to the college and we sequester them, you know. And I said, okay. I said, I got a question. She said, all right. And I said, hey, what? Let me give you an example. A guy leaves home at about 15. Let's say he gets to running drugs and alcohol. He's a bootlegger. By the time he's 16, he joins the Navy at 17. I said, in the Navy, he gets put in jail several times for being so violent. I said, by the time he's 21, he's in state penitentiary. By the time 22, he's in a rock and roll band, traveling around the country, selling cocaine wherever they play. He sets up distributions all across the nation, across the South. And I said, then all of a sudden, you know, and now he's dealing in big quantities. He's smoking and he's drinking every night, playing rock and roll. But he's got all these little dealers working for him, so they set up a gang. And now the gang's running cocaine and crystal meth out of Forest City, Arkansas. And I just went right down the line. I said, what can you do for somebody like that? And here's what her answer was. As long as he is on our campus, we can guarantee 100% that he'll be free. I said, where? As long as you're on the campus? She said, yes. And I said, well, what about if you step off the campus and you send him home? You can't live there forever. And she said, then that goes to zero. Those kind of people can't have help. They're helpless. I said, really? Really? I said, do you know who I am? She said, no, sir, I don't. I said, I'm the 16-year-old guy. And when I really found Jesus, not a campus, not a rehab program, but when I found the Lord, I never did another line of cocaine. I never drank another beer. I said, because there's only one power. You decide whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. When you make up your mind, you're going to heaven, and you get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you get baptized in Jesus' name. You don't need to go to a university and have a 12-month rehab. What you do is you say, I've been justified, bought, and I am purchased. I am not going to a devil's hell. I decided I'm going to try everything in the world to go to heaven. Somebody holler amen. And so, guest, you know, I appreciate you here, and I hope you come back, and I hope you don't get offended. I can't control that. I'm an old-fashioned Pentecostal preacher. I'm not one of these new guys with all the slick words and all that mess. I don't read 1,000 books a year to try to figure out sentences that will entice you to come. If you want to burn, then just sit there. That's what I did. If you want to go, and here's the reason, is because there's absolutely nothing I can do except tell you there's a way out. And let me just be little, you know, let me just say this so it'll help you. Because now you may think, well, boy, he's got it all together. Well, I thought handcuffs were normal life. So I'm just going to ask you, I won't make you embarrassed and all that, but is there anybody in here that will raise their hand that you used to do drugs? Is there anybody in here that would raise their hand and say, I used to be a drunk? Is there anybody in here that would raise their hand and say, my mouth was so foul it was worse than the back end of a mule? Now, guess either everybody that raised their hands are lying or something changed them. something happened. Something changed them. Something happened in their life that was so magnificent that it changed them from that old creature to this new creature. And that same thing can happen to you today. Oh, we praise your name, Jesus. I wish everybody would just give him some. I praise you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. You can be seated. I'm finished. I know I didn't take a text and do the traditional. I don't know. It's just, I can't get that out of my mind. Pastor, I just can't get that sentence out of my mind. When I came off the mountains, it was like, nobody can help them until they admit what they are. Let me just use me. I just want to use me this morning. People would say, Poe, you're doing too many drugs. Oh, no. No, I'm not. No, I'm good. I'm good. Poe, you're a drunk. You're an alcoholic. I remember the guy, Larry Martin, and I was sitting there, and he was drunk, and I'm drunk. He said, man, we're a couple of drunks, man. We're just drunks. We just drink every day. And I said, no, I'm not a drunk. I can quit. And he said, well, then quit. And I said, I don't want to. Well, that's what drunks want. They like to drink. They like it. And then when they do something horrible, it's like, I'm not responsible. I was drunk. I wouldn't have done that if I was sober. Are you telling me that there's two of you? Or is there just one? And that one has a problem. That when you're this way, that one is that way. But then when you're sober, that one is this way. If that's true. And Jesus comes, and you're that way. Do you honestly now? I'm just asking a question. Do you honestly, you got to be honest with yourself. Do you honestly think in a drunken stupor, Jesus is going to take you to heaven? When Paul said that you shouldn't be a drunk. I didn't write that. That's in there. I didn't write that. And do you think that if you're not drunk and you're sober, but you're waiting on the next episode to be drunk or high, that he's going to take you? In other words, is he going to time his rapture to make sure you're not high, drunk, mad, cussing? And if so, do you think you're so special that you're the timing? Because there's another guy on the other side of town. Oh, sweet, there's another dude on your street. So Jesus, if he's timing it to where all of y'all are all good, he ain't never coming. Because there's nobody in here going to be all good at the same time. So it's got to be that Jesus is saying, I'm going to come back no matter what, on my time. If Gordon Poe's not ready, so it be it. He could have been. If Brian McCoy's not ready, he could have been. But I'm just not going to hang around and wait for Poe and McCoy to line up. Because when I set my date that I was coming back, I told them I was coming back. And I told them to be ready. And I told them, you don't know, it's going to be a surprise. They just should have been in love with me so much, they were ready no matter what, and give up all of that stuff that, number one, I don't have anything to do with. It's not in my kingdom anywhere, anytime, any place. So I'm going to share with you and then I close. There is no smoking place in heaven. There's not a corner. There's not a place where you have you go outside, you know. There's none of that. There's no bar in heaven. There's no nightclub in heaven. There's no place where drugs are given in heaven. There's no place where you can go to the past this and just talk like filthy, and there's no place for that. In other words, Jesus hadn't set up a kingdom that if you come up there and you're an alcoholic, then you get to go over here once a day and just get wiped out. That's not there. If you're a drug addict, well, he's got a place over here that you just get to visit once a day and you just get wiped out. Or if you want to go cuss his name, then you can go over here and use all the foul language and then walk back out and act natural. Nice. I'm in heaven. It's not there. It's just not there. So how are you going to get there if that's what you are? Let me give you some shocking news. Hell doesn't have a bar. There's not a place in hell that says, hey, if you don't want to burn for a little while, go over here and get drunk. Or if you like drugs, that's what got you here, go over there and do all the drugs you want to do and then come back out in the torment. If you want to go over there and, you know, do whatever you want, I've got a room for here and you can do that over there, but when you get finished, you got to come back out and you got to be. In other words, what I'm trying to say real politely is no matter what, you're going to give it up. You're going to give it up. You will quit. You will stop. You're not in control. You're only in control of what you do here on this planet. But once this old body is deteriorated and gone, you're finished and you've given it up. I'm not going to let death claim me as an unholy, unclean, nothing about me godly. I'm not letting death come in and say, hey, I destroyed him and he's going to live his life in hell. No. No. You're going to give it up. So now my job comes down to this few minutes. Who wants to give it up? I watched a video the other night. Just bawled. A person set themselves on fire. It wasn't about religion. Young people, it was in America. Now, what would possess a man to pour gasoline all over himself and around himself and then strike a lighter? He couldn't have been thinking normal. And he sat right there and melted as people around the city were screaming, trying to put him out. The cops were running towards him. And he died burning. That could not have been God telling him to do that. There's no way that could have been God. God wouldn't have told him, why don't you just burn yourself alive? So it had to be that. Here's the way that you get out of what I'm talking about. First of all, this service is designed to see if you can tell yourself the truth. The truth sets you free. When I came to the altar guest, I didn't come up there trying to act like I was some big old Christian. I came up there wondering, will Jesus even accept this? Because, man, I am so bad. My mama would roll over in her grave if she. And I'm walking in front of all these people in Longview, Texas, where I'd been in the headlines on the newspaper, on the TV, in the post office pictures, and I'm walking up in front of all them saying everything about what you've heard, read, and seen is true. But I can't change myself. And if y'all don't change me, if you can't show me how to change, then I'm just me forever. So and if God can do it, I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can. Nobody's ever done it before. I've heard people get done it. My mother was so good. My little sister was so good. But I've never seen anybody. So I was up there saying, look here, this is what I am. I am dragging up baggage that people don't even know about. I'm dragging up mess that I'm bawling about. But Lord, if you can do it, I want it done. There's where you got to be. I want it done. If you can do it. The long steps from the pew to the front when you finally admit what you are feels like an exceedingly hard journey. Wow. Because it is. Let me tell you how, as I close, this came about. I was in church visiting, and I sat in the back. And the preacher was basically preaching about like I am. And Lauren, there's 700 people there. And he said, sure, you're back there over here. He said, you were here 2 weeks ago. And then he turned and he looked at this wall. And he said, here's what the Lord told me 2 weeks ago and I failed you because I didn't tell you. He didn't say he failed God. He said he failed me because I didn't tell you. And he's looking at this wall. He said, I see that you're dealing drugs and I see you out in a rock and roll area with the guitar hanging around your neck, and I see you partying. In fact, it looks to me like you're the life of the party. You look so happy, but yet behind closed doors, you're suicidal. In fact, you've been in prison. He starts just telling me in front of everybody. And I'm looking at the wall wondering what in the world is going on. And I'm going to tell you, I started getting embarrassed because he was telling things about me that was true, but my mother's sitting right down there, and I started feeling kind of, Lord, what is it? And I started cussing. In my brain, I thought, I will whip this SOB so bad that he don't even know. Yeah, I said it. And he looked at that wall and he said, you're not as bad as God, son. Whew, I'm almost crying right now because it scared me so bad because of what had just gone through my brain. And then he said these words, God's going to hang you over hell. Right then, sister, both my feet caught on fire. I felt fire under my feet. So bad that I leaped up out of the chair. And then he said, you have a choice, young man. You can leave again, but your time is running out. And the Lord told me to tell you it's a short time. Or you can walk to this altar and give it all up. I leaped up out of embarrassment. Now I'm in the pew because my feet fell like they're on fire. And I'm a long-haired hippie. And I'm acting a fool in front of all these praying people. They were just praying everywhere. But I'm in the chair because my feet are burning, and I've got to make a move. And I got to the end of the aisle, and the back door was about as close as it is from here to this door. And that would be the quickest way out. It would be the way out that I'd taken year after year after year. But I realized I don't know how short is to God. Is that another breath? Is that 12 feet? Is that one day? Is it 1 month? Is it 1 year? I don't know. But I do know that if it's one breath, I'm going to take it going that way. Because I believe if I'm going that way, he's going to give me another breath. If I'm going that way, he's going to give me a chance. Because he loves me enough, I better head that way. And that is the way I chose. Somebody better listen to me today. You're about to make some decisions that you need to be real sure about what you want to do. Let's all stand this morning. Yeah, I made the right choice. I admitted what I was. I wanted out. I admitted it. I admitted that I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to fix it. I've tried everything. I admitted that the only thing that I know how to do is get more involved and get more drunk and get more high and get more mad. In other words, help me use those crutches that I've used for 19 years. Give them to me because I know how to limp through life, depressed and suicidal. There's 13 scars on this left wrist today. They're not little bitty scars like I didn't want to do it. I hacked up my arm because that's the only way I knew how to get away from it. And I didn't know Jesus loved me that much. I didn't know that anybody love. I didn't even love me. That night I walked down there and picked up my hands. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to say. I just picked my hands up and stood there. It's like, okay, here I am. What's next? People started gathering around me praying, and I didn't know what to do. So I just did what I was hearing them do. Lord, forgive me for. Look at all the mess that I made. I heard my mother's voice behind me weeping, and she's crying and sobbing, and I'm thinking, Lord, if this don't work, I don't even know if you take people like me. You take the good ones, I guess, but do you take the people like me that are so messed up that nothing in life can fix them? Are you? And all of a sudden, I just felt this warm, loving feeling just started settling over me, and it was almost like, what in the world's happening? See, today somebody in this crowd can walk down here. Church, I want you to start praying because this is very serious for some people today. There needs to be a prayer like we had last night. There needs to be a prayer like we've had on the past weeks for people that really need help. And maybe you're here today with God has woke me up at 3:07. I will never forget it. It was wide awake. Maybe it's you that can walk down here and say, preacher, I don't have much. I've really messed up, but I need the church to pray for me. I need some people to pray for me. Come on, church, maybe we can get into the Holy Ghost and the spirit of prayer enough that people knows that they're walking into a place that has comfort and safety, and that no matter what they've been through, that they're not going to be judged by what they've been through. They're not going to be reprimanded by what they've been through. In fact, we're going to try to walk them out of that mess and walk them into something brand new, and the Lord's about to use them in ways they can't even imagine. Is there somebody here that needs that? I want you to come out. Just walk out of that. Just walk down this aisle and say, preacher, there's a man right there. He says, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't understand what's going on. I just know that I got to quit. I just know that I've got to have a change. I just know that I need somebody to help me. I just know I need somebody to help me. Can you help me out of this? Come on, is there somebody else? Just hurry. We can't give you the Holy Ghost, but we can sure help you pray. We can sure help you pray. Come on, quick. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Come on, praying. Come on, praying. We've got people in the altar. Come on, praying. We got people in the altar. This is what revival's about. This is what revival's about.